Thank you. I'm delighted to be here this afternoon. I'm delighted to see all of you as well. I know that you had a choice of going out and playing in the snow or coming to one of these sessions, so I'm really pleased that you made the right choice. And so today I'll be talking about, I have no relationships to disclose. I'll be talking about evaluation-informed improvements that were made to the California Convergence, which is a community collaborative network to advance public health policies, both local policies and statewide policies. I also want to mention that we're a member of the National Convergence Partnership, which is a large funder collaborative, a national funder collaborative, and our colleagues at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation are among those funders. So in the next 10 minutes or so, I'll be covering how Convergence started, some changes we've implemented based on the evaluation of the California Convergence, and some implications for other states considering embarking in this work, embarking on similar efforts. So why the California Convergence? Well, around mid-decade of this century, as we all know, rates of overweight and obesity were skyrocketing. They're reaching epidemic proportions. And at the same time, a number of funders in California, such as the California Endowment and Kaiser Permanente, were investing significant resources in communities, at least 45 communities in the state, to prevent obesity through policy change to improve and create healthier environments. So these communities were located and are still, most of them, are located throughout, spread out throughout the state of California. The work that they're doing is taking place in low-income neighborhoods where residents have had inequitable access to healthy food and physical activity. They're also disproportionately impacted by obesity and the subsequent health outcomes. So the community collaboratives in each of these sites are working on a number of different kinds of things, such as changing ordinances in Fresno to make it easier to locate farmers markets. In Anderson, which is in the far north, in Kettleman City in the Central Valley, they're working on improving food retail environments. We have collaboratives working to improve parks in Bakersfield in the middle of the state, in Shasta County up north, and down in Chula Vista. We also have a number of communities working to improve, working with planning departments and redevelopment agencies to get health language and general plans and to create other kinds of partnerships with planning departments in Humboldt and Madera and Concord. And these are all place-based, multi-sectoral efforts. But what was missing is that these were largely uncoordinated, fragmented efforts. So they weren't connecting with one another. And at this point, this is when the California Endowment and Kaiser Permanente came together to fund the California Convergence to network these communities together. They also were joined by a couple of other funders, as well as two government institutions, which were already funding these initiatives, funding seven different initiatives through their direct funding to the communities. They asked the Partnership for the Public's Health to coordinate this initiative. So the primary goal of the California Convergence was to build a network that supports policy change, both local and statewide policy change, that promotes peer learning and to ensure overall that the work reflects the priorities of and the needs of the local communities. So the work of the California Convergence was supported in a number of ways, and some of these ways included establishing an advisory committee, which provided input into the work of the California Convergence. We also provided support for peer-to-peer connections, opportunities for building relationships, accessing technical assistance, and these were through vehicles such as an annual conference, webinars, meetings, online communications tools, and the like. We also instituted a community-driven process to identify statewide policy priorities that communities could support and that could potentially work on together. Around 2008, or in 2008, ICF Macro was contracted to do a process evaluation of the California Convergence and to look at and to examine these various efforts. So I'll be talking about the California Convergence through the lens of the recommendations that they made and the improvements we made as a result of those recommendations. I will not be going into the methodology or the specific findings. At the back of the room, I've left some summaries of the report, and also on your screen, on a different screen that I thought I had switched out, but I can give that information to you. On our social networking site, we've uploaded the full evaluation report. So if you want to get into the details of the methods and the findings, that's where you'll find it. So today, I'll be talking about our response to their recommendations in three areas: policy priorities, relationships, and our use of communication tools. So in terms of policy priorities, there were basically two recommendations. One was that although we used a community-driven process, they wanted us to, they recommended it that it be more participatory and more community-driven. And the second thing was that the policy priority areas that were identified should be more, you know, within those areas, be specific, you know, have a very specific policy target that you're aiming for. So on the right of your screen are a list of the five policy priority areas that were selected. And in terms of the changes that have been made or are in the process of being made, these are still the policy priority areas for the California Convergence. If there are any new policy priorities, these will be determined in an inclusive, participatory way because the advisory committee, which I just mentioned a minute ago, is being transformed into a steering committee, which will no longer just provide input into what the California Convergence does, but it will guide and direct the work of the California Convergence. So in their draft charter, they are proposing that they are the ones that will have the authority to determine policy priority areas based on community-generated needs. And I should note that the steering committee the people on the steering committee are representatives of the different community collaboratives around the state. In terms of specificity, this is being worked out through the engagement of California-based advocacy organizations in collaboration with the community stakeholders. Policy leads from a number of different advocacy organizations have been identified to work with those community leaders to advance these policy priority areas. And the work is unfolding differently depending on the policy and depending on the level of funding that each organization has and the approach that they're taking. So some of them are more specific than others. We're still working that out. What I can say is that, you know, there are different approaches that lend themselves to the type of policy advancement that you're trying to make. So for example, with joint use, we have a couple of advocacy organizations that are working with just four California communities to advance joint use programs and joint use policies, and their aim is to build momentum around that and to then advance joint use at the statewide level. But just start with those four communities, and then the best practices, the lessons learned that they can make at that level then can be, you know, disseminated and replicated throughout the state. The second approach is embodied in the work that is being done around the beverage environment. We have the soda and water campaigns. We have two advocacy organizations working with communities to advance statewide legislation. So there's four bills that they're working on right now. In terms of the soda campaign work, okay, so another recommendation was to promote policy priorities that were tied to funding streams that could be used to support chronic disease prevention. The soda campaign work embodies this recommendation. So those advocates are working with communities to see about putting a tax on sweetened beverages in California, and the revenues generated from that tax could be used to fund chronic disease prevention efforts. Another recommendation was that we take on the private sector. Well, this is pretty much taking the private sector on head on. They also recommended that we engage more fully with federal initiatives such as the Child Nutrition Act, healthcare reform, transportation reauthorization, and the like. The first opportunity that we had to do this was when the ARRA funding came available for the communities putting prevention to work effort. It was an RFP that, as some of you know, came out last fall. And so the California Convergence served as the coordination vehicle to support the development of 16 public health department proposals in response to that RFP. I'm not going to go into much detail about that now because there's an entire panel presentation on that tomorrow at 8:30. And the organizer of it is Lisa Hershey, and she's in the back of the room, session 5043, so mark that down. Another area where we were able to engage at the federal level was through our communications task force. They headed up a coordinated submission of comments to the White House Task Force on Childhood Obesity, and so shortly thereafter, we're seeing the First Lady coming out with her Let's Move campaign. And wouldn't you know that the policy priorities that the California Convergence has identified are very similar to those that you'll find on the website for the Let's Move campaign. And it was great to see that when Michelle Obama came to California to showcase this campaign, she chose Louderback Park in Chula Vista, which is one of our California Convergence communities. Another area of recommendations for us was to continue something that we thought we were doing fairly well, which was to promote relationship building, to continue to invest in staff to support these kinds of connections through face-to-face meetings, leadership opportunities, and they also recommended that we create more opportunities for youth engagement. So, one of the ways going forward that this will happen, it will deepen the work and deepen these relationships, is through the formation of the new steering committee. This is going to provide opportunities for at least 24 community stakeholders to now start to exercise power and decision-making authority on a statewide level. And this won't only happen in the steering committee, but we're also developing task forces where community members can engage fully on statewide decisions about where convergence is heading and where these kinds of policies are headed in the state of California. I'll note that in terms of the participation of youth, for the first time last spring, we included youth in our California Convergence annual conference. And for the youth, this was a four-day meeting where the youth met separately from the adults. They developed their own policy agenda, which they then presented to the adults at the California Convergence meeting. And they also took their recommendations to something called Enact Day, where they met with state legislators. And the Enact Day was a statewide forum to advance to advocate for improved nutrition and physical activity throughout the state. We've made some changes to our communication systems. We do have a social networking site, which started from nothing to having 700 online members. And one of the main things I want to point out here is the newest thing that we're working on after having done interviews with, at this point, most of our California Convergence members, is we're developing an interactive net map where you can click on one of those sites on that map. It will pull up information about what's going on in that community, and this will be an opportunity for peers to network and to learn from one another and learn and exchange local leader expertise. We haven't been without our challenges, and in the interest of time, I will talk about one of the larger challenges, which is that, as I mentioned before, these communities have been working across seven different initiatives. Well, some of these initiatives are sunsetting. Our funders, they come and go. And unfortunately, even though we feel like we're at the tipping point of something really big, sometimes the funders pull the funding out right at the time when this is the time to really hang in there. But nevertheless, this means for us that some of the communities There are fewer communities than when we started. The good news is there are always new communities out there just beginning to do this sort of work, and they can learn from those that have the experience, and we can bring them into the fold of California Convergence. And for example, Project HEAL has 10 sites that have come on board within, what, the last year or so, and we are bringing them into the California Convergence family. Successes and implications. So again, just a couple. One emerging success is the transformation that we're seeing, and this is just recent, but there's been a lot of behind the scenes work to make this happen, is the transformation of this advisory committee to a steering committee. This is a very significant change. This represents a paradigm shift from an initiative that was initially funder-driven to one that is now community-driven. And it represents a shift in the power structure So while the goal has always been for California Convergence to be grassroots, community-driven, it really takes some intentionality around this to really see it happen. We can talk about it, but you have to plan for it, you have to be intentional, you have to put systems in place to make it happen. So that's a recommendation we have for other states that want to do this work, is to have an intentional structure in place which provides for community stakeholders to exercise genuine power and genuine decision making. Don't be like us, don't wait as long as we did to do this. Have the communities put this structure in place, this governance structure in place, as soon as possible. Another success has been this investment in relationship building. And as we talk about our different models and our theories of change, sometimes we overlook the importance of relationship building. This is infused in the in some of our earlier models that we were seeing. The relationship building is in each stage of every one of those phases of the work. And that takes work as well, and that takes intentionality. And in the evaluation, community leaders identified the face-to-face and other relationship development opportunities as the most valuable benefit of California Convergence support. And the grant makers that we've worked with have honored this by continuing to funding staff to organize these statewide meetings. We now have opportunities for regional meetings and so forth. Looks like we're running out of time. I do want to note the importance of practicing equity. That's what this conference is about. The first core value of the new steering committee is equity, fairness, and social justice, commitment to systems that promote participatory dialogue and inclusive decision-making processes. So we're beginning to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. I want to thank our funders as well as our evaluators. And if you want additional information, here's my contact information. And there are materials in the back.